It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great MMA show. It's here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that MMA spot.
Welcome to the MMA show. Thank you for joining me today. I'm so excited you're here. I have a special, special topic. And I have a great friend here, and she's going to share her story. And her story is about losing a child. The last baby that I lost, I didn't see that. I didn't see him carrying me through. I guess it's kind of like I relate myself to the guy in the footprints poem. Mm-hmm. I tell God, how come you weren't there for me? But then when I had a one-on-one encounter, and that's when I love Reunion. And that's, you know, Reunion believes in what I'm doing, and they're partnering with me with these radio broadcasts. But not only that, they were, God used them in such a way to heal my broken heart when I came. I had just lost my third. And he used the Holy Week as the final breakthrough for me, saying, I lost my child too.
Yep.
Would I ever have done, would I have gone through all the pain I went through just to hurt you? Now, mine only lasted 7 weeks. Yours lasted 7 months, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, there's a verse that just sticks with me and actually came to my mind when you asked me to do the show, and it's 1 Corinthians 1:1. And paraphrased, there's a lot more to it, but it's comfort others the way God comforted you. And I really have no words to tell you how hard it is. There's no words to say. There's no words of comfort that people can offer. It's it wasn't enough that I had another child. A lot of people said that, well, at least you have another child. Well, no, I was supposed to have two. It wasn't enough that I had a wonderful husband, have a wonderful husband that loves me. God really was the only thing that I had. And when God is all you have, you find out that he's all you need.
I feel bad for the people that don't have God, because when these things happen, that's why they go on drugs. That's why they go to alcohol. That's why they get depressed. Where else do you go when you don't have that helper, that comforter, that physician, that counselor, the peace that you were talking about that mm-hmm. passes all understanding? Where do you go? There's nowhere to go. You can't go to your psychiatrist and him help you out. I mean, to a certain degree, I'm sure, yes, but not in the same way that God can, right?
Exactly.
What would you tell these people out there that are so angry at God and might be in that depressive state? Maybe they can't get out of bed. Maybe they turn to drinking. Maybe they turn to prescription drugs. Who knows? Maybe they just have destructive patterns. Maybe they've enclosed themselves away from their family, but their husbands. Maybe they have kids too. What would you say to them?
You know, I would just say that really, I understand your anger and your sorrow. I know. I slept a lot. I slept probably 12 hours a day just because it was my escape. I don't have to feel. I don't have to think. I'll just sleep. And I would just say to them that when you're mad at God, he can accept your anger. He can take it. He's bigger than that. But God loves you. And people would say, oh, well, if he loves you, then he wouldn't have me go through hard things. Well, God loves you so much that he gave his son for you, just for you. And I know that if I had a choice, my son wouldn't have died. I'm not that big of a person that could just give up my son's life for you. God willingly gave his son, and not just gave him up to die a peaceful death. He gave him up to be tortured and died just for you.
That's the ultimate love right there.
It is.
I'm the same way. I had 3 pregnancies. And if I would have given birth to any of them, I definitely wouldn't sacrifice them for anybody. I'm just not that good of a person. And I would say to them, the only thing you can do, honestly, to, I hate to use the word get over your hurt, but to help you through, maybe is a better way to say that. To help you get through the valley of the shadow of death, to help you get through and be able to start living again, is to cry out to God and tell him exactly how you feel. Exactly. And yes. Do it every day. If you hate him every day, tell him, I hate you. Tell him why you hate him.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, open yourself up to listen too. Because it took months before God spoke to me. I think he was letting me vent a lot. And then when he did speak, it hit me to the core. It hit my heart. But it was a loving way. It wasn't this angry way. But he was just showing me how much he cared for me. And he understood that I hurt. And it wasn't that he wished that I would hurt. But we live in this fallen world. And there's death. And there's destruction because of it. And it's not God. The devil was telling me, God did this to you. God didn't do this to me, because he says he brings life and life more abundantly. But the world we live in is full of death. But like you said before, and I'm glad you brought it up, he did bring healing to your son.
Mm-hmm.
And our children are probably playing up in heaven. And I'm so happy to know that they will never feel a broken heart. I mean, mm-hmm. Who wants to have a broken heart? It's miserable. They're never going to get sick, never have a cold. And to be in the presence of Jesus, I'm kind of envious of you, because at least you felt that. I don't know what that totally feels like. I mean, I know when I got saved, I felt the Holy Spirit, and it was wonderful. But to be in the presence right there, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or like Jacob wrestling, or Abraham with Melchizedek, I've never had that experience. And I'm glad that you could testify for yourself and tell people out there that God is real, Jesus is still alive, and you have the proof, because you've seen it with your own self.
Yeah, I really think that was a gift that he gave me, because I have never felt his presence so strongly. And it was just really, honestly, I think just a comfort to a mother's broken heart.
Mm-hmm.
And what you had said was a verse that I was fortunate enough to find through a church that we were attending at the time, a support group for mothers, just for moms that had lost children. Because there's, thankfully, not a lot of them out there. But which is a good thing, because we don't want that. But one of the ladies at that group gave me a verse, and it had comforted her. And it was Isaiah 57:1, I believe. But basically what it says is that good people die and nobody understands. Nobody understands that God is saving them from hard times to come, and they enter into rest. And I just kind of took that and thought, well, okay, you know, maybe because God can see into the future, we can't. Maybe there was something down the road. I don't know. But he's safe with Jesus. I know that for a fact, because he was there.
And you're going to see your son again. That you know for a fact, too. It's the waiting in between that makes it so hard.
Oh, yeah. I remember going to the grocery store. And this was short, even a month after he had passed, and going to the grocery store and stopping by the diaper aisle. And then realizing I have nobody to buy diapers for. And having to leave the store, leave my cart, leave the milk in my cart, and go out to the car and just sit there. And, you know, you think you're doing better, and then you have these, you know, slip-ups that you just think, it just brings it all crashing back down. And grief takes time.
That I can relate to. Totally can relate to that.
There's no cutoff time, because I know society moves on.
Yeah. They why are you still crying? It's been a year.
Right.
Why are you still upset?
Right.
I've had people tell me that. They cannot understand for the life of me why it hasn't even been 2 years. Why am I still upset that my last child died. Why am I still upset about it? I'm so much better than I was when it initially happened. But there are things that set you off, and you can't help it. It's right. Just part of being human.
Well, Adam would have been about 16. Actually, his birthday is coming up the end of this month. And he would have been 16. And even now, I have those times where it's not as severe as before, but I still have those times of, I wonder what he'd look like now.
Oh, of course.
I wonder what he would be doing, if he would be into sports, you know, if he would have looked like me, if, you know, what he would have been interested in. I mean, he's still a part of my life. He's still my son, even though he's not with me.
You know, it just dawned on me right now, the fact that you named your son Adam, and we're talking about the fall of Adam, and then the second Adam in this whole series that we've done with you. I just found that fascinating. It's like, it's just interesting. It's a good name.
Yeah.
Now, was it difficult for you to decide to have another child? Did it just kind of happen?
No, Christopher, my youngest, was definitely prayed for. I just needed to have another child. And I guess I just didn't want Adam's death to be it as far as children were concerned. My husband bought me a puppy.
Aww.
but obviously it was not the same. And then for some weird reason, and I never had the infertility problem, but it was a little bit before Christopher was born. And I remember God, you know, I just pleaded with him to have another baby, to become pregnant again. And I just remember God saying, he's going to be a blessing. And it was difficult because after he was born, after Christopher was born, about 7 months, they thought he had spinal meningitis.
Oh, no.
And I was like, that's it. I'm done. I remember passing by the hospital and just in shock, you know, wringing my hands, just really not quite all there. And passing by this empty chair, and there was a voice that said, if I take him, will you still love me? And I turned around to the chair because it was just such an audible voice. I would have sworn there was somebody in that seat. And I said, how can I not love you? You're still God. You're still my father. I probably wouldn't like you very much right then, but. And then right after that, he ended up not having it, and it was just a simple virus, and we got to go home.
Isn't that interesting? He did that, and he told Abraham the same thing.
Yeah.
In a way. Mm-hmm. He asked him to sacrifice his only son.
Yeah.
And then when Adam followed through with his obedience, he stopped him. Because the whole point is, God didn't want him to sacrifice his son. God just wanted to know where he was at.
Right.
Did he love him? Mm-hmm. Did Abraham love God enough? And you kind of followed that. God wanted to see your heart.
Yeah.
And you showed it to him, just like Abraham did.
And Christopher's my last. I really just...
You were satisfied?
Well, I was satisfied, but honestly, after his near brush with spinal meningitis, I couldn't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. I just...
Right.
I was...
Yeah.
I don't know how else to describe that, but it was like, oh my goodness.
Sherry, I appreciate you so much coming on the program today. You've totally blessed me, and I'm sure you bless tons of other people listening to this program. If you'd like to get in touch with us, visit my website, theamermayshow.com. And remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, somebody else, because eventually number two will look out for you.